From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 7. Thou whom my soul loveth. It is well to be able, without any if or but, to say of the Lord Jesus, Thou whom my soul loveth. Many can only say of Jesus that they hope they love Him, they trust they love Him, but only a poor and shallow experience will be content to stay here. No one ought to give any rest to his spirit till he feels quite sure about a matter of such vital importance. We ought not to be satisfied with a superficial hope that Jesus loves us and with a bare trust that we love Him. The old saints did not generally speak with buts and ifs and hopes and trusts, but they spoke positively and plainly. I know whom I have believed, said Paul. I know that my Redeemer liveth, said Job. Get positive knowledge of your love of Jesus, and be not satisfied till you can speak of your interest in Him as a reality, which you have made sure by having received the witness of the Holy Spirit and His seal upon your soul by faith. True love to Christ is in every case the Holy Spirit's work, and must be wrought in the heart by Him. He is the efficient cause of it. But the logical reason why we love Jesus lies in Himself. Why do we love Jesus? Because He first loved us. Why do we love Jesus? Because He gave Himself for us. We have life through His death. We have peace through His blood. Though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor. Why do we love Jesus? Because of the excellency of His person. We are filled with a sense of His beauty, an admiration of His charms, a consciousness of His infinite perfection. His greatness, goodness, and loveliness in one resplendent ray combine to enchant the soul till it is so ravished that it exclaims, Yea, He is altogether lovely. Blessed love this, a love which binds the heart with chains more soft than silk and yet more firm than adamant.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message called Christ, the End of the Law. He has sought, first of all, to clarify the meaning of the word end, as found in our text, Romans 10 and verse 4, which reads, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Simply stated, the end or the aim of the law is Christ for our righteousness. This is the message of the book of Romans. In examining this subject, Dr. Cairns first demonstrates that the one fundamental aim of the law is to stir men to seek Christ for salvation from their sin. Now to continue this message, Christ, the end of the law, here is Dr. Cairns.
The end of the law is Christ for our righteousness. Now that immediately shows us that the end that Paul has in view is not the termination of anything. Now there are other scriptures that tell us Christ terminated the old ceremonial law. But this is not the termination of anything that Paul has in mind. This is the aim and the fulfillment of the law. And what is the aim and the fulfillment of the law? Christ for our righteousness. That's what Paul is saying. Now, if we take it in that sense, immediately we can see not only does it make very simple sense, but it is the very heart message that Paul is expounding in Romans throughout this epistle. That's the message that he expounds in every epistle. This is the message that consumed the great heart of the Apostle Paul. Everywhere he went, to whomsoever he preached, under whatsoever circumstances, this was the message that Paul preached. Christ, our righteousness. And when he was faced with the claims of the Jews and their view of the law, his answer was always one and the same. The law had as its aim and fulfillment Christ for our righteousness. Now let me put that in a very straightforward way. What Paul is teaching us then is that the aim of God's law is eternal life. Remember, the end of the commandment was to life. It was ordained to life. So the aim of the law was eternal life on the ground of a perfect righteousness in man. Let me emphasize that. The aim of God's law was eternal life on the ground of a perfect righteousness in man, which is achieved in the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law and established a perfect legal righteousness which God imputes to all his believing people. That's the message. Here's Paul's great statement. That's why I said at the beginning, this is a little verse that we pass over so glibly. And yet in it, there is contained the very heart of everything that the great apostle ever preached. Here is his great statement. Here is the truth that the Jews rejected and stumbled over to their own destruction. Here is the truth that men still reject and stumble over to their destruction. Here is the truth that you must grasp by faith if ever you are to be saved. The law of God, as we, I think, proved very comprehensively last week and in the weeks that have preceded, the law of God has not been abrogated. God has not undone one iota of his moral commandments. The law of God demands a perfect righteousness. It will bar the road to heaven for any man except he has a perfect righteousness. Let's understand that. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of this wishy-washy Unitarian gospel, which is not a gospel, that God will simply pat you on the back and say, well, I forgive you. I couldn't let you be lost. I must bring you into heaven. The Bible knows nothing of that. The law of God is inflexible in and inexorable in its demand. And it demands salvation only on the ground of a perfect righteousness. But the whole aim and object of God in giving the law is to preach eternal life. Because of a perfect righteousness achieved by Christ and imputed freely to all who believe in Him. Can I point out, as we consider this, first and foremost, that the law has one fundamental aim, and that is to stir men up to seek Christ. That's the fundamental aim that God has in giving us His law. Law as a way of salvation is to abuse the law. To use the law as an excuse to reject Christ is to pervert God's holy law. To feel no need for the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior is to ignore God's law. Those who have no felt need of Christ have never faced the full rigor of the law of God. Let me make that clear to you. People who can drift through life, careless about their condition, careless about their relationship to God, careless about the person and work of Christ, are people who have never come face to face with the rigor of God's law. Let a man face the law of God. Let a man face the God who gave the law. Let any man come face to face with what God says and what God demands. And I tell you, that man's conscience will be set on fire and he will be forced to Christ. He will be stirred in his soul to get to Jesus. The man who feels no need of Christ has never viewed the holiness of God. He has never caught a glimpse of the absolute righteousness of God, his judge. He has never grasped the reality of the terrible wrath of a sin-hating God. One of the great doctrines of the Christian faith that has been mocked relentlessly by hell and by all the minions of the devil, and has been practically eradicated from the preaching of the Christian pulpit, is the doctrine of the wrath of God. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For, says Paul, our God is a consuming fire. And in both testaments, Jehovah says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I want you to stop tonight if you're in this meeting without Jesus Christ. I want you to stop and even consider the past week. Consider every evil thought and every evil deed, every wickedness of motive and of action. And I want you to hear in your conscience tonight the thundering voice of the Lord God of heaven. I will repay. I will repay. Man may overlook your sin. People may be incapable of doing anything to visit judgment upon your sin. But I will repay. I tell you, once that grips a man's heart, it will drive him to seek Christ. The law aims to make sinners feel their sinfulness. That's why the modern self-esteem movement is such a danger to the souls of men. That's why this crazy notion that we should make people feel good about themselves even when they are in arrogant rebellion against God is a hateful and heinous crime. Why? Because I want to tell you, while you are utterly depraved, sinful, corrupted, and wicked in the sight of God, and while God says you are a rebel against His law and His gospel and His holy wrath, like the sword of Damocles is suspended above your head and hell is waiting to grasp your soul, you have little cause to feel good about yourself. The Bible, especially in the giving of the law, does not seek to pamper sinners. It seeks to convict sinners, to drive them outside of themselves for hope, so that feeling their utter, absolute hopelessness, they will be ready to receive the greatest revelation God could ever give to man, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the aim of the law is to make every sinner know that only in Christ can he ever be made righteous and acceptable to God. And of course, the law has the very same aim for Christians, to point them to Christ. The law of God reminds us that it is a perfect righteousness that God demands for any man to enter into heaven. And thus, it reminds us that apart from Christ, we have no righteousness. Thus, it grounds our assurance not in ourselves, not in our religiosity, not in our rituals, not in our best efforts, but in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It directs us to Christ as the ground of our acceptance. It directs us to Christ as our example in holiness. It directs us to Christ to receive the motive power to obey the law. God can use His law to point us to Christ, for He who satisfied the law can satisfy our need of a righteousness that satisfies the law. Bless God for an all-sufficient Savior. The law of God, remember this, has one fundamental aim. That is convincing men and women of their own sin, to stir them up to flee to Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.